You're listening to the Brown Girl Podcast, a new show discussing various cultural and mainstream topics that impact our community from the perspectives of South Asian women. The show also aims to highlight South Asian women creators, business owners, and pioneers who are paving the way for future generations. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you're on Instagram, give us a follow at thebrowngirl_podcast to stay up to date on new releases and stay engaged with our community. Thanks for tuning in. Testing, testing. Hey guys, Julie here. Thanks so much for joining today. This month is a solo episode, and we are going to continue talking about dating and relationships. So if you haven't listened to episodes 12 and 13, definitely give those a listen, both dating and relationship themed. I had my friend Tina Luke on both of those episodes. In episode 12, we talk about what it's like dating in our 30s as brown women. We talk about cultural pressures associated with, you know, getting married and advice we have for others who are in similar situations. And then in episode 13 is more of a Q&A where we share our thoughts on various dating and relationship questions that were submitted by listeners. Okay, so we talk about everything from long distance to what it's like dating in our 30s versus 20s, who should pay on the first date, and so much more. So be sure to give those a listen if you have not. So today we are talking about scams in the world of online dating. This unfortunately is a very real thing that happens. And unless you've totally closed yourself off to TV and social media, you've probably heard of the Tinder Swindler documentary on Netflix. In this episode, I'm going to share my own experience of meeting someone on a dating app who turned out to be a total fraudster. And then we're also going to hear from, we're also going to hear other listener submitted stories. Okay, so these are women in the South Asian community who've also experienced or encountered, shady and scammy people on dating apps. So spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the Tinder Swindler and you plan to, fast forward 60 seconds. Okay, so the Tinder Swindler, it's a real life story about this Israeli guy, Simon Leviv, who uses Tinder, the dating app, and basically cons all of these women into lending him money, which amounts to millions and millions of dollars that he never intends to pay back. So he meets these women off of Tinder. He starts to build a relationship with them and puts on this facade that he's someone who is extremely wealthy and successful. You know, he's flying on private jets. He's wearing designer clothes, taking these women on vacations, like the whole nine yards. And at some point in each of these relationships, he comes up with this huge fabricated story about how he's being attacked by his enemies. His enemies have frozen his bank accounts, and he needs to borrow money to get out of this very dangerous situation. And these women, of course, panic because this is their lover, this is their partner whose life is being threatened, and they want to do anything to help them. And you find out that he's more or less running a Ponzi scheme, and it's just totally a wild story and really sad story for these women who were victims of his money laundering and now are in debt for the rest of their life because of him. And, you know, it got me thinking about scams in the dating world and on dating apps, and that I have to do an episode on this because unfortunately it's very common, with online dating, as common as it is today, it really creates even more risk and opportunities for people to easily lie and misrepresent themselves. So you really have to take extra precautions to make sure that you're protecting yourself and not trusting people too easily. So I had kind of a wild story that happened to me in the last year. I was active on the dating apps and I had matched with this guy on Dilmil, which, if you're not familiar, is a dating app specifically for the South Asian community. And this guy was like me. He was Indian. He was Malayali Christian. Shout out to the Two First Names Club. Now, Dilmil will match you with people all over the country. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and coincidentally, he was also living in or around that Southern California area. He lived somewhere near Los Angeles that was like 40 miles away from where I lived, which is more like West LA/Central LA. And over the course of a few weeks, we had exchanged messages on the dating on the app very sporadically. But the conversations, you know, were very here and there. And eventually we had exchanged phone numbers, and then I didn't hear from him. Like, since I gave him my phone number, I hadn't heard from him for a couple of days. And then one day he called me out of the blue, and I wasn't expecting his call. I picked up because, you know, it was like a local area code, and I thought it was a DoorDash delivery guy. It was like smack dab in the middle of the day, and I was about to jump onto a work call. So, you know, I pick up and I'm like, oh yeah, hi, you know, totally taken aback. And then I told him, I got to hop on this meeting, but let me call you back later this week. And I truly did mean to call him back that week, but it just totally slipped my mind. And then a few days later, he had texted me. Now it was on a Friday, I remember. And when he texted me, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. That was totally my bad. And he was like, no, that's totally fine. He was so nice about it and asked me if I wanted to meet up that very same day, which I was also caught off guard because it was like, you know, a really last minute thing. And I was already very much planning to stay in, and I was kind of, you know, feeling lazy to leave the house that evening. And the only thing that I felt like doing that day was an evening hike. So I told him, hey, if you're up for going on a hike, we can meet today. Otherwise, we can just plan for something else next week. And he was like, yeah, that'd be great. Do you know of any hikes near you? And one thing to note about LA is that LA is extremely spread out. Like, it's so large. It's not like other metropolitan cities where everything's kind of like condensed into a 5 to 7, 8 mile radius, and you can just hop onto the subway and get somewhere pretty fast. Like, one, there's no public transit in LA. Well, there is, but it's like really crappy. And LA has the absolute worst traffic and congestion of any city I've ever lived in. Like, you could be dating someone who lives 15 miles away, but it could still feel like a long distance relationship because of how difficult it can be to physically move through Los Angeles. Like, if you live in West Hollywood, there's no way you're going to want to date someone who lives in Hermosa Beach or Redondo Beach. Like, people just don't do that. Like, it's taken me, I've driven in the past 45 minutes just to move like 5 miles. It's completely insane. Anyways, so I took notice of the fact that he was willing to come all the way down from where he lived, which was in Palmdale, California. It's like a good 40 to 45 miles away from where I lived in West LA. And that translated to about a 2.5 hour drive in traffic. And that's not an exaggeration. And I had very much confirmed he did live in Palmdale because on the Dillmill app, he had his location enabled. And so the app will tell you, you know, this person is however many miles away. And I totally would have been open to meeting him at the halfway point or a little closer to him. So right off the bat, I acknowledged the fact that he was willing to, you know, put in that kind of effort and drive over 2 hours to meet me. Anyways, so we agreed to meet at Runyon Canyon, which is a really popular hiking trail in LA. And, you know, the whole thing was very like super last minute. And I was kind of in like a very indifferent, whatever, whatever kind of mood. And it ended up being the best first date I'd ever been on. Like, our first date lasted over 6 hours. We just totally connected. We totally hit it off. You know, we had so much to talk about. He was just, you know, he seemed extremely passionate, full of life, ambitious. I could tell he was extremely smart and intelligent. And there was just something about him that made me feel like he was a kind, good-hearted person. Like, his demeanor, he just seemed very kind, very respectful. And we just had a very good first date. And this is what I had learned about him on our first date. And I need to preface that I learned all of this over the course of like, you know, 5, 6 hours. It never came across to me as him like trying to brag or be pretentious or anything like that. These are just things that came up in conversation as we were getting to know each other. So this is what I learned. He was 31. He told me he was born in Dubai and, you know, his entire family was still in Dubai. He moved to the US 10 years ago to attend UCLA. That's what had basically brought him here. His day job was he worked in engineering at this really huge, well-known defense contracting company in Southern California. And I had spent 7 years of my career at another defense contracting company that was a direct competitor to the company that he worked at. Like, they do all the same stuff, compete after the same kind of work, very similar cultures, et cetera, et cetera. So right off the bat, like, we had a lot that was in common to talk about in terms of our careers and professional backgrounds. And with respect to his work, he seemed extremely passionate and knowledgeable. And I was also very interested in hearing whatever he had to share, because I could just tell there was a lot of passion behind it. And then I was also very familiar with the industry that he worked in. And he had mentioned that he supported this part of the company where they build like prototype and super secretive technology. They're mostly like classified work for the US government. And one of the things he told me was that because of the classified nature of his job, there's a very heightened level of security required. And so when he went into work every day, instead of scanning his employee badge to get into the building, they did retinal scanning. Like, they'd scan his eyes as a means of identification. Okay, so I bring this up because it's going to come up later in the story. So moving on, he also told me that he taught math classes at UCLA. And he also taught motivational speaking classes there as well, which is another thing. Like, if you spend a few hours with him, you'd literally feel like you're listening to a Tony Robbins event. He told me that he was on the part-time roster for the Los Angeles Football Club, LAFC, which is a professional soccer league. And I'm not too familiar with soccer, so I hadn't even heard of this league at the time, but he had an extremely fit physique. Like, he was extremely lean in terms of his, you know, body composition. So I was like, I mean, yeah, you look like you play professional soccer. He told me he had also been in the US Army and had been stationed in San Diego, which does have a large military base there. And then he also told me that in addition to his day job working at Lockheed Martin, that he was one of the founders of this EV truck company, this electric vehicle trucking company. And he told me the name of the company, and that's, you know, what he'd been doing on the side, but he wants to eventually transition to doing that full time. So again, all of these things I learned about him, just, you know, stuff that naturally came up over the course of our first date as we were getting to know each other, his demeanor, the way he spoke. Like, I never got the feeling that he was full of himself. He just seemed like he was an extremely well-rounded person who had a lot of different passions and hobbies. That's the first impression I got from our first date. And, you know, it was overwhelmingly like a very positive first date experience. So the next day, it was Saturday, you know, we were texting, we're making plans to see each other the next day, which was going to be Sunday. And so I'd asked him if he wanted to join me for church, and then we can go to lunch after. And he said he'd love to, but he had some other commitments already, but if he got done early with it, he'll let me know. So I'm like, okay, yep, no problem. So I'm sitting on the couch in my apartment, and I just remember having like a moment to myself where I thought, okay, Julie, like, this is why it's good to keep an open mind, because it turned out we had an amazing time. Because like leading up to that date, I was feeling very like apathetic toward, you know, meeting him. Anyways, I'm on my laptop and I get this urge to Google him. Now, there's pros and cons to Googling someone that you just met in a dating context. You know, the cons are that there's often misinformation on the internet, and it can sometimes make it harder to keep an open mind when you meet somebody. Now, in this situation, I had already met him and had a very like positive feeling toward him. So I figured that whatever I find is only going to be favorable. And I figured there's bound to be plenty of information about him on the internet, given everything he told me about his life and all these different things that he's part of. So I got on Google and type in his name, and I'm not exactly finding the search results to be what I expected. So there were two things. The first thing that I see was several of those white pages or people search websites, you know, that show your name and address, phone numbers, age, etc. And he's got a very unique string of names, like first name, middle name, last name. And the website said he lived in Palmdale, California, which I knew to be true. But it also said that he was 26 years old, which was unexpected because he had told me that he was 31. And there were like two or three other similar websites that had all of the same information, including that same age. But again, I didn't put too much stock into that, particularly knowing there's misinformation on the web, on the internet, and I just kind of chalked it up to, okay, these websites are probably just wrong. Then I Googled the company that he told me he had co-founded, and I had never heard of this company, but when I Googled it, it turns out it's this massive, like, publicly traded company. They had just recently IPO'd. I go to the page on the company website that shows like the About Us section, and it had pictures of the executive team, the founders, and like all of the key people of this company. And I don't see his name anywhere, but I'm confident I found the right company website because everything else he had told me in terms of like where this company was based out of and the kind of niche work they did, all of that lined up. So the fact that he told me he founded this company but wasn't on the company page, despite all of these other key people being on there, was kind of strange. So at this point, I had to run to an appointment. You know, I had to close my laptop there, and then there was like all this other stuff going on later that evening, and so I didn't have time to continue my research. But him and I, like earlier that day, we had already agreed to see each other the next day, which was Sunday. So next day comes around, you know, he tells me he unfortunately won't be able to join me for church. I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. So I come home. I remember falling asleep on the couch. It's the middle of the day. And then I wake up to all of these missed calls from him in the last 20 minutes. And at this point, like I had not done any more Google research beyond what I had initially found the day before. And so at this point, like I had my suspicions, but I'm not quite ready to, you know, come to like a firm conclusion on anything. And then also a small part of me was also like, maybe I should just give him the benefit of the doubt, you know? So I call him back and he's like telling me, oh, you know, I felt bad that I couldn't see you today. I really wanted to see you. I'm in your neighborhood right now. And I was like, what? You know, totally shocked that he just showed up, because again, that would have been like him driving another 2.5 hours. So I'm like taken aback, you know, by the fact that he just one showed up, but I'm thinking, okay, I'll use this second date a little bit more strategically to, you know, get a little bit more information. And then also confirm for my own sanity that I had heard him correctly on our first date. And this all just like wasn't a huge misinterpretation or misunderstanding. So, you know, we're hanging out, I'm asking him questions in like a very curious but casual way. I'm asking him about this company that he supposedly founded, you know, and he's like telling me all these stories and conversations, and he's using like the founder names, like the same ones I saw on the company website. He's telling me about their wives and girlfriend names, and like all these stories all point to him being, all paint him as someone who's like very much in the inner circle of this company. And then I asked him more about him playing soccer for like the LAFC, and he told me, you know, more about the criteria for being on the part-time roster and all these different things that he had to do to maintain that. And you know, it all sounded very like matter of fact and so believable. And if it wasn't for the fact that, if it wasn't for like what I had initially found from my very brief Google search, like I would not have any reason to like doubt him. So that second date probably lasted like 3-4 hours. And I'm kind of thinking like, okay, this guy is blowing smoke. So that night I go home and I enter into full detective mode. Like I'm putting on my detective hat. I am working to gather the evidence so that I can confront him. Now, at this point, the only two pieces of information that I learned from Google the day before that seemed suspicious was his age thing and how his name and bio was not listed on this company website that he supposedly founded, despite the names of all these other key people being on there. So then I Googled the Los Angeles Football Club, you know, the professional league that he said he was on the part-time roster for. And I look up at the roster. I don't see his name. He told me he taught math and motivational speaking at UCLA. I could not find his name on the basic university registry that is typical for like employees and staff. Then I find his LinkedIn profile, which was funny because he's obviously the one who created it. And it even had his picture on it. So I knew it was him. And his LinkedIn profile says he's an engineering intern at the same EV trucking company that he claimed he founded. And his profile said that he graduated college from this university in India in 2017, even though he told me he went to school in Dubai and then went to UCLA. And that 2017 graduation year would also line up with him, you know, approximately being the age of 26, which is what those other online websites had stated. And he also had his personal email address listed on his LinkedIn, which had the year 1995 on it. It was like his name, 1995@gmail.com. And that year, birth year, would have made him 26 at the time. And, you know, the whole birth year and the email address alone would not have been alarming, but for that to coincide with everything else I found, you know, it was safe for me to conclude that he's using his birth year in his email username, which is pretty common thing that people do. So all these different things pointed to him being 26 and not 31, like he told me. Nowhere in his LinkedIn profile does it state that he co-founded a company. It doesn't state that he teaches math at UCLA or that he works at Lockheed Martin, which is what he claimed his day job was. And then I also found his Facebook profile and Twitter profiles, and everything I found on his social media pointed to him being 26 years old. It pointed to him having recently moved from India and, you know, him finishing his degree at whatever college in India, and that he likes to play soccer. So the last part of my investigation that I found to be the most compelling was he told me that he worked at this company. His day job was that he worked at this company, Lockheed Martin. And again, I had worked at a direct competitor of this company for 7 years. And it's pretty common for people to jump ship and take jobs at competitor companies. So I had previous colleagues of mine who now worked at this same company that he said he worked at. So I found one of them on social media. I gave her the rundown of, like, you know, yeah, I met this guy on this dating app. I think he's lying. He told me he works at this company. Can you help me out and confirm whether he works there or not? I give her 4 or 5 possible variations of his name to search for. And she comes back to me and is like, you know, no, I don't see him. He doesn't work here, girl. You know, I think he's lying to you. And so I'm like, okay, I have all the evidence I need to very confidently conclude that he's just totally full of shit. So at this point, it's Monday, and I had just met him 3 days prior on Friday. And I was getting ready to go on a business trip the next morning, and I figured, you know what, I'll just confront him when I come back. Like, I don't really want to deal with this during this week. So in the meantime, I'm just not going to speak to him until I come back. And I'm trying to pack all my stuff because I have this flight to catch the next morning, and he keeps calling me. He calls me at least 3 to 4 times. I just ignore the calls because, again, I didn't want to deal with it in that moment. And I'm trying to continue my day and do what I have to do. And I'm just having a hard time focusing because I'm so, like, repulsed and shocked at how somebody could fabricate all of these lies, you know, to this extent and think they can get away with it. So I thought, you know what, whatever, like, I'm just going to confront him now so that I don't have to deal with him or deal with it later this week. So at this point, it's like 11 p.m. at night. I call him. Actually, I FaceTimed him. And as I'm waiting for him to answer, like, I'm almost like foreshadowing how this is going to play out. Like, I'm thinking, okay, he's probably not going to pick up his phone. Instead, he's going to call me back in 5 minutes. And when he calls me back, he's going to be outside. Because I just had this feeling that he was also hiding or lying about his living situation. Like, I didn't know what his living situation was, but I just had this feeling that there's something about his living environment that he didn't want me to know. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. He doesn't pick up. Instead, he calls me back 5 minutes later and he's outside. Like, it's 11 p.m. at night. What are you doing outside at 11 p.m.? Anyways, I'm getting ready to confront him. But before I confront him, I start asking him in a very, like, casual way, but really it's facetiously. No, like, I start asking him, can I see where you live? Like, can you show me a tour of your apartment? And he starts telling me about, oh, like, he can't show me because all of these other engineers from his work live there. And, you know, they're not going to like that he's on the phone or something. I'm like, okay, no problem. I just want to see your room. again, I'm just being facetious. And then all of a sudden, the story shifts to how he can't show me his room because of his job security and how they have all these security protocols in place and he's not allowed to talk on the phone. But, you know, he has another apartment in some other city and he can show me that, but he can't show me this one. I'm like literally thinking to myself, this is the dumbest thing I've heard. So anyways, I'm like, look, I know you're lying about everything. You know, I Googled you, did all my research, and your story is not adding up. This is what I'm saying to him. You don't work at Lockheed Martin. I had my friend who actually works there confirm that you're not an employee. You know, I rattled a whole list of everything else that I found, and he is adamantly denying all of it, but in like a very calm way. He's not getting worked up. He's not getting hostile or defensive or anything like that. He's like, just telling me, no, you know, I'm not lying to you. Why would I lie to you? And I'm like, okay, if that's the case, show me proof. Like, show me your employee badge. Everyone has an employee badge. And he's like, no, I don't have that. You know, remember I told you that I only scan my eyes when I go into work. Like, I don't need a badge. And I'm like, okay, fine. Show me your driver's license because I know you're not 31. And he's like, no, you know, I don't have it. I left my wallet at work. I don't have it with me. And I'm like, you don't have a single piece of ID, a passport or something. And he's like, no, you know, I can show you later. I just don't have anything with me. I'm like, okay, bullshit. Then I ask him why his name wasn't on the company website that he claimed he had founded. And his excuse was that, you know, because he's still employed full time by this other company, they had to like keep his involvement in this other EV truck company like a secret. It was just total BS. And then I tell him how I found his LinkedIn and Twitter profile and how all of that says he, you know, actually went to school in India, even though he had told me he'd graduated from UCLA. And then I told him how his own LinkedIn profile said he was an intern at this company that he told me he founded. And he basically told me that those profiles were fake, and that someone else created those profiles and he doesn't have anything to do or know how those profiles were created. And I'm like, okay, dude, your story is, none of this is adding up. Anyways, this went on for like 20 minutes and I eventually just ended the call by telling him, look, I don't know what your intentions are here, but it's not working. I gotta go to sleep, but I would recommend you stop doing whatever shady thing you're trying to do here because it's not working and you're gonna get in trouble. Like, I felt like his mom or something. And we hung up and I never spoke to him after that. Actually, he did text me the next day saying he's, you know, he was sorry if I was hurt, but that he's telling the truth and that he'd have no reason to lie to me. I never bothered to respond to it. And I reported his profile on the dating apps and then again, never spoke to him or heard from him. So, you know, the whole thing was so bizarre, and to this day, I have no idea what his motives were or why he felt he needed to fabricate this huge lie about his life. I think he had to have some short-term motive in mind because, you know, someone that you actually plan to get close with is, of course, going to find out. These are not small white lies he's telling. He's very much telling the kind of lies that con men tell. So my hunch is that his motives were one of three things. One, he was trying to ask me for money later or something of that nature, like the Tinder swindler. Or his motives were for like a visa because he had just come from India in the last few years. Or his motives were something else eerie that, you know, could have ended up as Dateline or a 2020 story. To be honest, I have no idea, but regardless, I know that he's a total fraudster, and I am so thankful that I discovered all of that as quickly as I did, because like all of that started and ended within 4 days. And I'm so glad I used the internet to my advantage, because had I not, I would have totally gone along with it and wasted more of my time and continued to put myself, you know, at risk to whatever shady thing he was trying to do. So before I share the other listener stories, I wanted to also share a quick PSA that if you do encounter fraud like this, any kind of fraud, including dating or romance situations, you can actually visit www.reportfraud.ftc.gov and report a fraudulent incident that you encountered. It takes 5 minutes to do, and this basically creates a database for law enforcement to use when handling fraud cases. So reporting something on here doesn't mean that there's going to be a police investigation, but if there's cases that escalate to that level, then those investigative units can search this database and see, you know, this same person was reported 5 other times and gather those details to use for their case. So that's one resource I would recommend using if you do encounter someone who's trying to scam you. I actually recently submitted a report on there for someone who was trying to scam me when I was trying to sell my couch. Okay, so I have a few listener submitted stories that I'm going to play. They're all 1 to 2 minutes long, and these are all fellow women in the South Asian community who are sharing what happened to them. So here's the first one.
I met this guy on shoddy.com years ago. We seemed like a good match. We're in the same profession. He lived in the same city. We had a few mutual friends. We met up and went out on a date, and it went really well. I really liked him. He told me a week after our first date that he had to go to New York on business. He was communicating with me the whole time while he was in New York, like texting me, and I think we spoke once. When he came back, we started seeing each other since he lived so close, and everything seemed great. He told me he loved me, which kind of took me aback because I thought it was a little too soon. But he also was talking about what would happen if we would get married and, you know, things that seemed like our relationship was progressing. This was the first guy I ever told my parents about, and I really liked him. A few months down the road, he seemed to be becoming a little bit distant, and he blamed it on work, and I told him I understood. However, one night, I kind of missed him, and I looked at his Facebook page because I hadn't really gone on Facebook to look at his page since I was hanging out with them. And in his friend's block, I saw a picture of this girl's profile. And when I went to the profile, her profile picture was a picture of her with this guy in a couple pose. So I went digging around, did a little research, made a few calls, and next thing I know, I find out that the weekend he was in New York for business was a lie. He was actually in San Francisco getting married. So I reached out to him and you know, casually asked him, you know, hey, you want to meet up? And, you know, he said, yeah. So we were driving around and I called him out on it. I said, hey, are you married? And he denied it. He said he's actually in the middle of a divorce. And I asked him, well, who's this girl on Facebook? And he said, oh, that's my ex. And I said, why does your ex have a couple picture of the both of you? And he said, I can't control what she does on Facebook. I said, fair enough. But the next day I got another call from a friend that really confirmed everything, that yes, he had gotten married a week after our first date. So I reached out to him again, and he started yelling and screaming at me, saying he's in the middle of divorce and why don't I believe him? So that was the end. I told him to get his divorce and then call me. I never heard back from him, and last I heard, he's still married to this woman.
Holy crap, he's married? Where do I even begin? So a few red flags when listening. Love bombing was the first red flag. Like him saying he loves you and wants to marry you when you guys just met is usually a common tactic for narcissists and abusers. Him responding by screaming and yelling at you when you try to confront him, another huge red flag. I'm glad that you discovered what you did in time, like seeing what you found through Facebook, because had you not, he probably would have continued to waste your time. But with respect to the last sentence about call me when you get a divorce, even if he did get a divorce, he doesn't exactly scream, you know, a high quality person, considering you already confirmed he had gotten married a week after your first date. So overall, I'm glad that you dodged that bullet, sister. Let's listen to another story. This one has to do with a classic catfish scenario.
So about 5 years ago when I was single, I matched with this guy on Domo, as one does, and I was just talking to him for like 4-ish days or something, and I was telling my best friends about it, and they were like, okay, tell me details, and then we all did some sleuthing, and some of the messages like didn't add up, and then I went to a bar, and then I came home from the bar, and I was like, okay, like I'm gonna FaceTime him. I FaceTime him, and like low-key a catfish, It was just very heavily edited pictures that he was using on Dilmil versus on FaceTime. Just didn't look like the same person at all. And I was getting scared because I was like, oh my god, like, this is so sus. And I hang up and start blocking him on everything. And he, like, somehow DM'd me on, like, my second Instagram account. And then tried to get more information and, again, blocked him there. And then started messaging my friends on Snapchat. And then everyone blocked him. And he hasn't contacted me since, which is great. But ladies, beware. Good luck. And I'm just glad I'm not seeing these catfishes on Dilmil anymore, because I'm happily in a relationship. And I just worry for everyone's safety. So if you ever get a gut feeling that someone's, like, it's kind of sus, they probably are.
So, classic catfish story where the guy is using either photos that weren't his, or in this case, heavily edited photos that look nothing like him in real life. I'm glad you guys FaceTime before meeting in person. That's one of the easiest ways, I think, to protect yourself from getting catfished, is to at least do one FaceTime or a video meeting before meeting in person. Another piece of advice, if you suspect that the person on the other end is using fake photos, is you can reverse image search that photo on Google. So you can only do this on a desktop, I believe. I don't think it works well on your phone, but if you go to Google Images, there's an option to upload a photo, and Google basically attempts to match that photo with the billions of photos it has access to on the internet. And so from there, you can find if that photo is a duplicate or if it's been used in other places. Okay, so let's listen to one more. And this person had specifically requested their voice to stay anonymous, so I modulated her voice here.
I had just moved to a new city in the middle of the pandemic when everything was locked down, and I used Hinge as a way to primarily make friends. I matched with a guy who seemed interesting and looked accomplished based on his profile and my personal background check. We went on a date and he was very charming and fun to talk to. I told him I wanted to be friends, but he made harmless jokes about being in a relationship and what we would do as a couple. Things progressed quickly, albeit faster than what I was comfortable with, and we were an exclusive relationship as per his request. However, things started going downhill when I discovered the mask of his true personality fell off. He would backhandedly insult my looks, educational background, and personality. He would also get phone calls from these random girls who he claimed were his exes and were obsessed with him. The incessant calls and communication with his exes bothered me, so I brought it up to him. However, he brushed it off and told me I was crazy for worrying and that he needed to maintain these friendships, and claimed that these women were upset he was in a relationship with me and they wanted to be in a relationship with him. I'm not talking one or two girls, but four, five, six girls. I also discovered he was incredibly homophobic, xenophobic, classist, elitist, and perhaps doing some other shady stuff on the side that made me worry for my safety. I ended things with him pretty quickly and enabled no contact communication. About a month later, I got a hey girly DM from a girl, and I found out that this man had lied about where he lived, how much money he made, and what he was doing during his free time, because the entire time we were together, he was on dating apps and talking to other girls, pretending he was single and claiming that I was just a friend who was obsessed with him. Looking back, I can't believe I was coerced into dating a narcissist who manipulated me day after day and lied about the most unnecessary things, and this is just the tip of the iceberg.
This guy sounds like a serious POS, and it's really unfortunate, but oftentimes people's true colors only come out after you enter into a relationship with them. And this guy seemed to have a lot of toxic traits, making backhanded insults towards you, excessive unnecessary communication from exes, gaslighting you when you brought up your concerns. So I'm glad you cut things off, and good riddance to him. So that wraps up today's episode. You know, there's no way to know for sure what someone is going to be like, but do the things that you need to do to protect yourself. So take your time to get to know somebody, use the internet, social media, your own social circles to your advantage to vet people accordingly. Do a FaceTime or a video meeting before you meet in person. And if you have a gut feeling that something feels off, like one of the other ladies said, there's a good chance that it is, so don't ignore that. You know, at the end of the day, dating is kind of a gamble. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, but be sure to take your time and be safe out there. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in this month. If you like the show, have any feedback, or have suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Instagram over at thebrowngirl_podcast or my personal page at juliegeorge723. I would love to hear from you. Join me next month for another episode. Until then, take care.